Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Today, I see Steve.
Yeah.
I see Caitlin.
Hello.
I see producer Casey.
Good morning.
Oh, yes. And I'm Sean Roberts. And together, this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
We thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. Now, if you're new to your Weekly Dose, the program's about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right. Let in all the things that we experience in everyday life. The embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, and I've heard everybody say this, laughter is the best medicine.
Damn right it is. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and joining the conversation. So you do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Send us a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
And if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
And boy, guys, we've got an awesome show for you today. We're going to give you a little bit of funny signs. And then we have a very, very special guest in the room with us. Oh, my God. I can't believe we have a person in the room, not on the phone. Oh, my God. Yes, it's going to be Paloma Estevez. And she's going to be talking about her family, her career, and some other things, too. So, you guys, tune in and find out what it's all about.
And you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
That's right. Today's theme song is Different Drum by Victoria Shaw. Of course, that's in honor of our guest today because she's a drummer, damn it. And she's a damn good one, too. So make sure that you guys remember all the songs that we play on our podcast you can get from our sponsor. Just go to Amazon.com and pick all the stuff you want there. But you got to do it through our website, which means you got to go to weeklydose.com first. Click on the Amazon banner and then bookmark it and then shop to your heart's delight because that way we get a little bit of money on and that way we stay on the air. So that's a good thing. And you guys have been helping us for the last 5 years and we hope it continues another five more.
Amazon.
Gotta love it. I should be getting something from Amazon pretty soon, too. So, yeah, because I got something for my drum set. So,
I'm so proud of myself for remembering to click on the banner.
Thank God you are doing that now because with the film and everything, because we need the pennies, damn it.
I know.
We need the pennies. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, should we catch up?
Bam.
Let's catch up. Bam, bam. We're going to start with you because you've had a busy week.
Oh, yeah.
And a busy night last night, too. So.
Yeah, I know. I literally went to sleep at 1 a.m.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And you were at your own place.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Crazy. So filming started A week ago now.
Yes!
Yes! Amazing! I know, it's taken a year to get to this point, and I couldn't be happier with the cast or the crew. Like, both. Like, they are both so amazing. And I'm really happy. I know. Casey and Sean are both on crew. Yeah. She's like, yeah! She's like, you know, heard that. That's her little catchphrase. Yeah, and it's just been amazing. Like, I got into acting during the pandemic, so this is really my first time where I'm in front of the camera a lot as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I've fallen in love with it already. Like, I already have, like, a gut feeling, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Awesome.
Like, I love it so much.
Well, you get lucked out, I think, mainly with your DP.
Oh, yeah, I totally did.
Because he's an older guy.
Oh, yeah.
About my age or so.
Yeah.
But he's got 25, 30 years of experience.
Oh, yeah.
And loves to do little projects like this.
I know. No, I appreciate him more than anything. Like, the fact that he wants to be on our project and help support us. Like, he's literally like a father to us at this point. Because he knows that we're young. He knows, like, he just, like, scoops us up and, like, takes care of us. And, like, supports us in any way that he can. And I am always, always so appreciative of him. And he's literally worked with Warner Brothers and stuff. Like, he's worked with, like, big, and, like, I'm so grateful that he's there.
We were talking about some of the big boys that he's worked with and everything.
Yeah.
And it's amazing for somebody of his resume would want to do such a small project this. You know, but he goes, it's me passing it on.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to keep the younger ones, you know, going, basically, because, you know, it's the next generation.
Yeah, yeah. And even Kay and I were talking last night, like, and this is a big thing for us, because I feel like even when I was on other sets, I would get talked down to a lot from other men. Mm-hmm. But he talks to us in a way that we're all on the same level. And mm-hmm. he also respects boundaries, like, like non-verbal ones. Like, it's like last night, and this means a lot to me, but last night, so, like, my bra strap was in the shot, and Kay was trying to fix it, but it wouldn't work. And so then I was like standing by the door, and Kay's like, okay, we still need to fix that. And Clifford had grip tape in his hand. He was like, here, we can use grip tape. And he just handed it off to Kay, like, mm-hmm. non-verbal. Like, he didn't even, and, like, that's a small thing, but it's like,
it means a huge thing at the same token.
Oh yeah, no, it means a lot. Like, it means that he's a safe man to have on set. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing for me.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. He's really great.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And some of the other people, because your director, Kay, also.
Yeah.
She was, because we had dinner
after the
first shoot. And to learn that you guys, I mean, for some of you, this is the first time you guys are doing everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is the first time she's directing and everything.
Yeah, and she's a natural. She's amazing at what she does.
Well, she goes, I like to be bossy. You know, so, like, okay, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, I remember even in the interview.
She forgets to call action every now and then. But,
you know, I know. That's the funny part.
Yeah.
I almost move when it's, like, camera set, and I almost start moving. I'm like, no, I got to wait for action.
She should probably do what Clint Eastwood does. It's like, okay, whenever.
Just go.
Just go. Yeah, that's what he does. And then when he yells cut, he doesn't yell cut. He goes, all right, that's enough.
That's enough.
You
got it. You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. But no, it is. And there's a good camaraderie with the crew and the actresses and everything. And it's really good. It was fun.
And I'm really, like, and I'm especially grateful for, like, your guys' support and Clifford's support, because you guys helped me through this so much. Because I've only been in this industry a year.
Yeah.
Like, I know a certain amount, but there's so much I still don't know.
Right. Well, you're always learning, no matter what.
Oh, yeah,
what,
yeah.
So, which is great. But we had fun. We definitely had fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Steve, how was your week, buddy?
Well, it was great. I felt good all week, so.
Uh-oh. Oh, you're them edibles. All right.
Yeah, but there is one thing that I need to talk about.
All right.
You need to talk about. Very serious matter.
Yeah. If you remember last August, I was gone all week because you were gone all month.
Gone all week. Well, we only showed up
the week of August.
I was gone for the week of August.
It seemed like a week while I was there. Anyway, I found out just like in July that my nephew, who's a year younger than me, mm-hmm. we grew up together and he's like a brother. He had cancer.
Mm, right.
So I went up there and excuse me. One of my granddaughters was getting married toward the end of the month in August, but I went up there the 1st of August because we had a get-together of a group of us that know each other because we went on this really amazing hike when we were all teenagers. We hiked from Yosemite all the way to Mount Whitney and out. So we were in the mountains for a month, and it was one of the most incredible things it was. And that was back when you could, like, actually drink the water. And you know,
out of the stream.
We had a great time. Anyway,
so fun.
We decided to get together the beginning of August with my nephew Randy, mm-hmm. because he had been diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
So since then, what they've been doing is going through these certain treatments, and they're trying to lower his bad numbers and raise his good numbers, and it's been progressively working.
Oh, great. That's good to hear.
And so what they're going to is they're going to harvest his T cells, then scrub them, clean them. I don't know. They do some process. They do it, mm-hmm. and then they put them back inside of him. Now, this is a very... how do I explain it? It's a very dangerous operation.
Oh, yeah.
Because not everybody survives it.
Oh, wow.
That's why they've been trying to get his number to a certain point and getting him in better shape.
Yeah.
And so they've been doing this, going through this. Well, they're going to do it on Monday.
Oh, boy.
So I've been kind of...
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like good news.
Yeah. Well, it is, but it's a scary thing because
it's a
high risk operation type thing. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to make sure before it happens that
it's his T cells. So, I mean, it's an easier, you know, letter to scrub than maybe a G or a Q.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's true. you know, because Avenue Q, that's hard to wash.
Yeah.
Especially on the undercarriage, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You
know, we really appreciate your medical school. This really,
Boy,
well, I didn't go to medical school.
Boy, I feel better already.
I used to play a doctor on TV.
Yeah, no, that was the joke. I was like, yeah, we really appreciate your medical experience here. Yeah, because you have none.
My medical experience is like when I fall down and hit my knee, I go sana sana colita de rana. That's about it.
No, I know. That's the.
You get that.
Well, anywho. So,
well, we'll be thinking about him, brother.
Sending you positive vibes.
It's just a weird feeling. Because what happens is after they put the T cells back in a person, mm-hmm. if there could be things that they don't know are wrong with the person.
Could there be rejection, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing that happens. It's such a strong treatment that people who are not in the best of shape actually die from it.
Wow. Okay.
So that, you know, he's doing pretty good. He's in pretty good shape, and his numbers are good. So
the numbers that you're talking about, though, and I know you may not
like
know,
there's an M number that is supposed to be at zero because that's the chemical that the cancer cell uses to coat the cell so it can't get attacked. And it's related to a number. Like 4 is really bad, and they want to get that back down to 0.
Got it. Okay.
So that's, and then there's a couple other things that they measure, you know, the amount of cancer, how active it is and stuff like that. He's down pretty much almost to 0.
Good.
Now. And so it's happening on Monday. I have to say, Randy, I love you more than anything. He's always been the brother.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Never had,
yeah.
So
I'm sure he'll be
fine. I'm sure too.
Cancer. Cancer treatment has come so far, too.
In the way that they treat
you even after you've had the treatments done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Mateo's mom, she's got cancer, and she's been in remission for quite some time now. And she's got, a blood cancer of some sort.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
she's been doing really well. She's been getting some, stem cell therapy or something
that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, something similar, newer age, you know, and stuff like that. So, understand that, but it's been working miracles for her, so I have a lot of faith in
it.
Yeah, it's totally it's totally valid to be worried and all that, but it's also we're so grateful to be in this time now, because if we did this if this operation was happening 20 years ago, who knows where
I don't even think we had it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have done it.
Yeah, So, like, medical advancements have gone so far, especially after COVID and all the research with that. Like, that has nothing to do with COVID, but, you know, just, like, in general.
Right. Well, and even before the treatment, he's had to get better.
Yeah.
So he's, like, already in a healing process, you know?
Yeah. Which is, I feel like he's in a good place.
Nobody can go near him. He can't have anybody around him.
Well, that's kind of understandable. I totally get that. Yeah.
Totally isolated and everything. Nobody can come near him. And the problem was his wife wanted to be in the room 24/7 with him after this, and they wouldn't allow that.
Yeah, you got to do phone calls. She is like
an EMT. She's had training, training in the past, and she knows a lot about what's going on, and she knows, well, the doctors were able to finally pull strings, and she now has the okay to be in with him.
That's amazing.
That's great.
So
that's
everything's set up for it to work out fine.
I don't think they would allow anybody else in if he was in a fragile state or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of medical, you got a story to tell us. With you and your puppy.
Yeah.
All that screaming in the ER.
Thursday morning, waking up, getting ready for the day, and we have she'll be two in August, a husky dog. And she's smaller, and she's a headboard animal. She loves to sleep up around the pillows, so she's always, like, curving herself around us and moving around or whatever. And this morning, you know, she went down, got some water, which is normal, and jumped back onto the bed. And for whatever happened, however I was situated in the bed that morning, she jumped, like, right on my face. And she... Luckily, I didn't get a whole bunch of scratches all over my face or anything like that, but she did get me right in the eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple hours go by. My vision is still really blurry. It hurts really bad. I'm trying to flush it, thinking that maybe there's, like, dirt in my eye or something like that. And I have my head held over the sink, and I'm holding my eye open with both hands because I can't keep it open for that long. And Mateo is pouring water on my eye. And I'm like, stomping on the floor of the RV and, like, screeching. I'm like, right? Like, and Mateo's like, I don't think it's supposed to hurt that bad.
Yeah,
he's like, not a good sign.
He's like, yeah, flushing the eye is supposed to be the good thing, you know? Yeah. He's like, at this point, I'm thinking maybe you might not. And I have a 2-hour commute to drive to work that day. I was supposed to be there at 2, so come like 11 o'clock, it would have been like an hour to when I would have had to have actually gotten on the road. Yeah. And my vision's blurry in my eye. My eyeball is really swollen.
Yeah.
There's no chance I'm putting makeup on at this point.
Oh, no.
Right? And I'm talking to the supervisor, and I'm like, I'm going to look really strange talking to people, and I don't even know if I can make the drive. I'm looking outside, and the sun is just, you know, I can feel it on the inside of my skull. And so I end up having to call out of work, and I call my primary care physician to see if I can go see an eye doctor, and they were like, well, you need to see us for a referral, and we don't have an appointment for 3 weeks.
Oof.
So they were like, at this point, your best option is to just go to the ER. So I tape a piece of paper towel to my face.
Because with scotch tape.
With scotch tape. The clear kind.
The pirate.
Yeah.
The modern posters weren't available.
Because my sunglasses are just not doing the job. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to keep my eyeball closed, but the sun, I can just still see it. So I taped this paper towel to my eye and off to the hospital, right?
Yeah.
So I go, I check in, and I'm just waiting in line, and there's a guy next to me in the waiting room, and he's got gauze that he's holding, and it's just full of blood pressed against his forehead. And then they call me up, and they're taking my information, and they call me in the back. I'm sitting in a little chair, you know, kind of like waiting. And there's another gentleman, and he's got to be in his 80s, and he's really struggling. He's having such a hard time. They're trying to maneuver him from one wheelchair to another. He can barely breathe. He can't even stand up. Like, he's just really having a hard one. And then there
Sounds like
Steve
on a bad day.
And then there I am with this paper towel taped to my eye.
All you need is a parrot on your shoulder.
The modern pirate,
And I don't know if it's just because of how out of place I might have looked, or, you know, being a female that's not falling apart in front of them so completely. But I've got two gentlemen talking to me that are the gentlemen that, like, drive the ambulances and whatnot. And it's
so
kind
pretty.
Of a slow day. No, gosh, no. But they're sitting there talking to me. They're like, what happened to your eye? How's your eye feeling, you know?
And oh,
they're
yeah, like, they're hitting on
you. Looking yeah, come at on. It. And
you got an old guy in his 70s. You got another older guy or guy over here that's bleeding from his head.
From the
and
head.
You got a pretty girl with her eye poked out.
Come
which
on.
One of these things are you going to hit on first? Come on.
And I'm like, you know, my eyes just really hurt.
I'd be hitting on you, too.
You understand, guys, this isn't my finest, you know? I mean, my eyeball is really swollen at this point.
That really?
So you look like Rocky for a few moments.
Yeah,
okay.
My pupils were misdilating,
ew.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I looked a little janky.
And they were still hitting on you.
And
like, right? that's like, ooh.
You know, finally they get me in the chair and they're putting this eye dye on myself and stuff like that. And then he's got this little light and he's taking a picture and he's like, all right, look up this way, look up that way, look down that way, look at me. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I see that. So he's like, you definitely
oh,
have
my.
A scratch on
oh,
your
oh,
eye.
Oh, I see that.
Takes a photo of it.
Heard
and
that, see that.
Very much saw that. And, you know, says, okay, we'll get it all fixed up or whatever. He just says, it's luckily the cornea of your eye is very fast healing, so it's
amazing.
Not of concern.
Yeah.
I did find out, however, though, that I have phenomenal vision. I have 20/10 vision.
What?
At the, yeah, so the, whatever, he told me that means that I can see something at 20 feet that a normal person can see at 10 feet.
Oh, look at you.
Wow.
Had no idea.
Dang.
Yeah, not in the other eye,
but
in the good eye.
But in the good eye.
But in the good eye.
In the good eye.
Yeah, and the other eye was probably like 3 or 4 steps up from that. So it was doing pretty bad on that side. But so I get my paperwork, and I go out, and I give them my insurance information, and they're like, all right, you're all set to go. And I'm like, cool, you know, like that's all I need. And they're like, yep. So I leave, and I go home, and I'm really struggling at home. It's really bright outside. I've got like all the curtains drawn, and
yeah.
I've got like, again, I've got paper towel taped over my eyeball.
Yeah.
They didn't give me an eye patch.
Really?
Eye patch. Yeah, they did
oh.
not. No, they
just
didn't
a paper
even.
Towel. They like that one.
Yeah, yeah. It must have not been like severe
yeah.
enough to like require that kind of. Well, I was fine. I was sitting at home trying to get through the day. My eye is still just watering. My nose is getting raw from like all the tears that are
oh.
streaming down my face. Something you don't really think about, but is super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I'm just spreading Neosporin on my face now at home. It's really been a struggle. This is not my proudest moment, right?
Yeah.
And these are the times where I'm like, Mateo might like me. You might really like me.
If the validation from the two other guys at the hospital didn't work, at least you get it from your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I'm not the easiest, right? I'm like walking around like a blind person. I'm like tapping on things to try and catch things. I'm knocking things over. Sorry. Like he's just walking behind me, picking them up.
Oh, he's such a sweet one. He may not buy you flowers, but at least he does that.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Really appreciative.
Yeah. Another one of those days.
Dude,
right.
Yes. And I get a call, and it's like an hour later, and I pick it up, and it's the hospital. And they're like, are you still here? And
no.
I thought I was discharged, right? I got paperwork. I have a prescription. It's being
yeah.
filled. And the woman was like, well... So the person that saw you was a resident, the person that, you know, is their PhD and they're there, like still continuing their education under the
oh.
under the supervision of an actual doctor or PhD or whatever. And she was just like, so the doctor reviewed the photo of your eye and it's fairly substantial. She thinks that you're going to need something to manage the pain. So I'm like, oh, thank God. Here I'm really starting to wonder if I'm just a real baby, right? Like they didn't give me an eye patch. They didn't give me anything, just like an antibiotic that I don't even have yet, right? I know. And so I'm like, well, but I'm not there. No, do I need to come back? And they're like, yeah, please. Okay. So I'm like, I guess, thank you, Mateo, right? We're
thank
going back.
Yeah.
Tape up my eye again, you know, and we're on our way.
Get the other
and
paper towel.
Get back another paper towel. Yeah, because, I mean, they are drenched in tears. My eye is really irritated.
Imagine.
It
yeah.
was really not a fun experience. And get back to the hospital, and they actually take me right in, right? It was really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And take me right back, and, you know, the guy's like, oh, we have drops for you here. We're going to treat you before you leave. Like, apparently I wasn't even triaged, you know? He thought he was just going to be able to fill the prescription
yeah,
and let it go,
no,
but it
enough,
ended up
yeah.
being severe enough that it needed to be treated there or whatever the
yeah.
case might be. So,
yeah.
And then they were like, all right, we're going to give you a pain killer for it as well. And
right.
she was like, you know, the numbing ones will do great for the next couple days. But for you right now, I really just suggest an oral one. So she didn't give me anything extreme, just like one that they would give people for when they have a sore throat with a cough. It's like the Tylenol with a little codeine in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we can all agree oral ones are our favorite.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, typically don't even like pharmaceuticals all that well. And, but I was like, I'm going to take it. I'm in like real discomfort right now. I really would just love to sleep. Yeah. And so I do take it.
That's
valid. I slept so well. I slept the best I had slept for a while. So much so that I woke up with a stiff neck.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rigor mortis had set in. Next day, I was okay and I could see much better. And so I talked to the doctor that, you know, was at the hospital that day. And they said, as long as your vision is looking much better, you know, and the sun's not too sensitive, you're safe to drive with the antibiotic drop and everything like that. It was like 24 hours. I wasn't supposed to be.
That's good. I'm glad you're okay, though.
So good. Oh, my gosh. It was so scary. So, I mean, we'll go back and we'll test the eye and see if the other one comes back to 2010, you know.
Yeah.
But so far, left eye like an eagle.
Oh.
Left eye, amazing. Left eagle, leaf, left eye eagle.
Left eye eagle. Oh, well, that's good. It sounds like everybody had a great week, though.
Oh, yeah, so. It was a time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Steve and I, we've got some really cool things that hopefully that will make you guys even laugh even more besides going to the doctor for your eye. So we got some funny signs here for you guys to...
Funny signs.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have to on this one.
No, I...
Oh, no, you should go first.
I should go first.
You should go first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, I believe in a better world where chickens can cross the road without having their motives questioned.
I like that one.
Right? Come on now.
Well, if you can read this, I'm not impressed. Most people can read.
Oh, fair enough.
Wow. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
I don't know if that's true in the United States anymore.
Oh, well. Okay, this one is
it's like, right up your alley.
Yeah, this is for me. I'm 70. Leave me the hell alone.
Fair enough. Just give him some edibles. Put him in the corner. He's a happy baby.
Indeed.
Where's the babysitter?
Like full this. Circle.
Like
for real.
I believe in dragons, good men, and other fantasy creatures.
Nice.
I was going to say.
If history repeats itself, I am so getting a dinosaur.
I love that.
Buckle up, because it makes it harder for the aliens to suck you out of your car.
Is that true?
It is, yeah, because you got the strap on over the
face. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why mostly when you see it in movies, the whole car goes up, because they got their seatbelt on.
Got it.
I don't suffer from insanity. I enjoy every minute of it.
Hallucinations,
sounds
man.
Like me.
I know, to the load.
Oh, this one is totally me right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm having an out-of-money experience.
Now that I understand.
This is for Kay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mike and Kay, yeah.
I make my own beer, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no reason to tailgate me when I'm doing 50 in a 35. And those flashing lights on top of your car make your car look ridiculous.
Fair.
I was an honor student.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you to go to hell, but I work there and I don't want to see you every day.
I work the front desk. Get out of my face.
Hey, don't drink and park. Accidents cause people.
That's true.
How my mind works when.
I like this one, though. Be nice to your kids. Yeah. Because they'll choose your nursing home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Marriage is grand.
Oh, yeah.
Divorce is 100 grand.
Fair.
And here we go. The last one is back off, bumper humper. My brakes are good, but how's your insurance?
Oh. Nice.
And there you go, guys. There's some funny signs there
nice.
For you.
Amazing.
Yes.
Did you see that sign? It was a meme going around Facebook that was like, the worker shortage is so bad that long-haired freaky people may apply.
May not apply, yeah.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
I know.
That's
hiring
signs
are everywhere.
Yeah.
Sure are.
There, right. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and play that video that we have set up. I want people to hear her talent.
Beep, beep. I don't know what to
do. And we're going to get our guests set up while we're playing this. So take it to listen to this beautiful song.
Oh, my own.
Wow, you know, that she was good. Whoever that is, we should try to get her on the show.
Oh, that, boy.
She'd probably be a big, good guest. I wonder who it is.
I don't know. We'll find out, though.
Wow.
All right. Well, today, we start a new series here on Your Weekly Dose. We've always had guests on the show in the past, but this time we wanted to go a little bit deeper. So today we begin a series called Growing Up in Hollywood. This is where we get to talk to children of various celebrities. We find out if they followed their family's footsteps and stayed in the entertainment industry, or did they carve their own path away from Hollywood machine itself. Well, today, our first guest of Growing Up in Hollywood truly comes from a Hollywood dynasty family. You might have watched her award-winning grandfather in Apocalypse Now, The American President, or my favorite TV show, The West Wing. You might have caught her father portraying Billy the Kid, or watching him coach a bunch of kids on a hockey team, or even just being known for the part of the Brat Pack. Oh, I know. Maybe you saw her uncle fight the Russians, or take over Wall Street, or watch him be a pitcher and be known as the Wild Thing. Well, no matter what, our guest comes from a family full of talent, and boy, does she have plenty of it herself. She's a sought-out musician, TV and film composer, surfer, and according to her, a closet dancer. Please welcome to the program, Paloma Estevez. Welcome, yay. Paloma.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
It is so good to have you here.
Thank you.
I want to go back a number of years, actually. Do you remember how we met?
I'm maybe at a show?
Yes. You were playing drums for our friend Jennifer Corday.
Okay. That sounds familiar.
Over at Executive Suites.
Okay.
And
Executive Suites, that place upstairs.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where we first met and had a few drinks afterwards and everything and so forth. And I love watching you play the drums. You make it look so easy.
Thank you.
And to the point where I'm going, I got to practice my guitar more. that's where it's at for me for you. So,
Thank you so much.
And of course, we have so many other friends in common too. All the gals from, first they were called Cougar Rocks.
Pulp Vixen
and now.
Pulp
Vixen now.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Grace has been on the show too.
Oh,
with
cool.
her husband, George and everything.
Yeah.
So they've been on. So, but I want to thank you for being here because you are our first in studio guest since the pandemic.
Wow. Wow.
Everybody has been on the phone.
It's really bizarre.
So nice to have somebody in the room with us.
Yeah, it's probably weird to be looking at someone else in here too after all this time. You're like, well, you don't belong in here.
Yeah,
you go home.
I have to look at these ones. Whatever. Like, somebody new. Yes, thank you. So I really, really, really appreciate you being here. So many questions I have and everything,
please.
You know. First off, the Sheen Estevez household. What was that like growing up during those time periods as a little girl?
Yeah,
was it kind of crazy? Was it?
Well, there were several households. I mean, my parents were separated, so I kind of had two different worlds going on.
Okay.
A lot of it was as you would imagine. Growing up, going to sets, going to movie sets. So I grew up like with that magic around me. And I feel really blessed now to have that experience to grow up in such a creative environment and to, you know, be in that. Like, I love the sets. Like, I love the creativity of, you know, set decoration and watching people do what they love to do. And I don't know if I realized it then because it was just my life, you know, like I didn't have anything to really compare it to.
That was the normal for you.
Yeah, it was just normal. But looking back now, you know, several years later, I realized, like, that was a really cool way to grow up.
Magical kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the thing, too, where growing up in those type of environments, it's like that's the norm.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for you. Because, like, I have some other friends of mine, and I might refer to them several times, too, which is the Nelson brothers, Matthew and Gunnar Nelson. And they've had always talked about, like, well, you know, Uncle Bob, who lived next door, would come over. You know, the Bob with the crazy hair. Well, it was Bob Dylan.
Right.
You know, or it was the Mama Cass used to babysit for them. And they go, you haven't lived until you've been gone through a drive-thru at McDonald's in a Rolls Royce with Mama Cass.
Okay.
You know, kind of thing. So they've got all these different things.
Yeah.
You know, so I can almost imagine it was kind of like that for you as well.
Yeah, well, my dad's best friend growing up, his best friend was Tom Cruise.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, like, that was just my life. Like, I didn't know, I really didn't know any
Uncle
different.
Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, that was his best friend. And that's how, like, our world was just surrounded by people at that caliber of acting and, you know, doing what they love to do.
Did he ever come over and jump on your couch?
He was over quite a bit, yeah.
were there any difficulties that you and your brother kind of had though in that type of environment though? Or
yeah, I mean, I think like with anybody who's in the spotlight, like everyone has drama that goes on in their life, mm-hmm. you know. And my family was pretty rocky growing up in terms of like the success was amazing, but there was a lot that went on, you know. Like there were a lot of divorces, a lot of there's a lot of paparazzi surrounding that. And so there were definitely some times where it was really uncomfortable and people asking me really inappropriate questions when I was way too young to like know how to answer them, you know, and being like followed around by paparazzi when you're like, I'm just trying to like have a day with my family, like uncomfortable situation. So
I can imagine. How difficult was that? I mean, because I'm sure your dad tried to protect you as much as he could from the paparazzi and everything, but they're still going to do their jobs and everything, though. So, I mean, was that, like, one of the most difficult things growing up, though, with it, or?
No, I wouldn't say paparazzi, no.
Okay,
no,
that's good.
They kind of just, like, you know, they're just a couple of times they're just, like, uncomfortable.
Pain in the ass, basically.
Yeah. I feel like it was more, like, in terms of the celebrity factor, it was more of, like, not sure if people wanted to be my friend. Or if they were interested in my family and, like, wanting to know things about my family that, like, no one else knew.
Yeah.
And that's something I still deal with to this day.
I can imagine. Cause that's one of the things I was going to ask you. Was it hard to have friends growing up, whether it be grade school or high school, going, do they like me because of me or is it because of my family?
Yeah, yeah. And both my brother and I were in a couple of situations that are just, you know, traumatizing. It's taken me a while to, like, get over some of the things that happen. Like, I've had a friend be like, yo, I'm at Emilio Estevez's house. Like, I heard them on the phone, you know, like, at my house. And it was just like, okay, like, I don't, you know, you're not in my circle anymore. Like,
you're done. Yeah.
Yeah. So my brother and I both have, like, really close-knit friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you kind of have to, we started to have, like, this meter on people of, like, are you going to be weird or are we cool?
Yeah. you have to.
Like,
yeah.
And even, like, growing up, like, it's already hard enough, like, as a normal kid to make friends and everything. And I'm sure that, like, the trust aspect to that growing up was really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And I was so shy. Like, I was so painfully shy as a kid. So it was, like, already hard to, like, it was already hard for me to make friends in the first place, you know? And so when I did, it was, like, it was really meaningful. And it still is to this day. So.
Yeah.
So would you say you're a little bit more of an introvert overall in general, though, and you slowly became an extrovert? Or
yeah, definitely. Okay. Growing up, definitely more of an introvert, and the older I've gotten, the more extrovert I've become.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
Because I think that's, to me, that's kind of nice because it just shows the growth that you have as going into adulthood and whatever career you choose.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Which is really neat.
Absolutely.
Which is very, very cool. I mean, I can only imagine that some of the things that you've gone through, you know, because of the family and everything, like you said, and I think it's also no different than anybody else. I mean, I've, with my family too, divorces and so forth, things of that nature, what have you, and families arguing at funerals and stuff. So I can almost, you know, for you guys, though, it's a little bit difficult because it's sometimes in the public eye, which you don't want it to be.
Yeah, when you have strangers asking you personal questions about your family, like, that's not normal. But still the same as everyone else, like, you know, all kinds of.
Knowing the background of your family also being Latino, which very few people go like, huh? You know, I don't get it. They don't look it. Well, what are you supposed to look like? Because the family mainly main heritage comes from Spain.
Yeah.
Does that heritage ever fall into place with everyday life growing up or anything like that? Or is the family just more a little bit more Americanized?
We're definitely more Americanized, but it's kind of turned back into more of a Spanish thing now, later in the generations. My brother married a woman from Spain.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he went with your dad and never came back.
Yeah. That's amazing. Like,
Dad, where's Taylor? I don't know. He just fell in love.
He did. He fell in love, and they're still madly in love with each other.
That is
so
awesome.
It's so sweet. It's so special.
I love that. Well, I mean, I'm from a Latino family myself, and everything, you know. And for us, I would say we're kind of more 80-20. You know, 80 being Americanized, 20 okay. having that Latin flavor in, because most of my family came from El Paso. So okay. there's a lot of that Mexican heritage that's there.
Yeah.
You know, so like Sunday mornings, you know, it's like my mom would make huevos con chorizo for me.
Ooh.
You know, and then they would go to the place next door or around the corner and go get menudo and bring that back, you know. So that's what it was for me. And certain cooking from my grandmother, I would get, you know, like sopa de fideo or something like that every wow. once in a while, you know. But it was like, that was like a treat yeah. kind of a thing, you know. So it wasn't an everyday thing either.
Gotcha.
You know, so... So, for you said it's kind of, because your dad did a film regarding a pilgrimage.
Yeah, The Way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
regarding that too. So
yeah, he did. We're trying to bring it back around because my grandfather was raised in Ohio. So
of all places,
oh, yeah, which part?
In Dayton.
Speaking of your grandfather, what type was he? What type of guy? What kind of grandfather is he? Was he kind that it's like, come here and pull my finger? Or was he the type of guy of like, come here, I'm going to teach you, have you give you a lesson and sit down on my lap kind of a thing?
I'd say in between the two, uh-huh. he's such a goofball.
Is he really?
My grandpa, I can't say enough about him. He is my absolute hero. Aww. If there was a superhero on the planet, it would be him. He's fantastic. And he's just like the kindest soul. And he's so generous and so loving to everybody around him. And he has no idea who he is. And
really?
I love that about him. Like, he has no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, he acts like he's just, like, I mean, he is like everyone else.
Right.
He is. But
he's just got a really good job.
Yeah, he doesn't have that, like, kind of persona that he's, you know, famous.
But he has that charisma that's amazing, though. Yeah. You know, and I was fortunate enough to meet your grandfather once at a Mark and Brian golf tournament.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can say, yeah, very giving, very generous type of man. So I was honored just to shake his hand. You know,
that.
Which was very, very cool. Very yeah. cool. Yeah, so it's kind of nice to know that he's kind of like in between and, you know, to be that kind of, because what you see on screen is one thing, but at home's another.
Oh, he's very silly.
Is
yeah.
he really?
Oh, yeah. And a total windbag. He'll just keep, he tells stories like all day long.
I remember one time when I was working on this film.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller.
Aww. Oh, that's
he's
awesome.
Really...
When you look at your family as a whole and you see all the talent within, you know, because I mean, good Lord, there's so much talent there. Do you take a step back and go, how did we get like this? Was there any pressure for your generation of the Estevez family to keep that talent there as well?
Right. Yeah. I don't know about the pressure. I feel like my, you know, love for music and for anything creative has been really natural.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I don't think I've ever had the pressure to, like, you know, to kind of like succeed or to be like a certain type of way other than what I am, thankfully. But I feel really grateful that I come from so much creativity,
yeah.
you know, and people that have succeeded and done what they love to do.
Yeah, I mean, because of course your grandfather, your dad, and your uncle, I mean, just amazing actors all the way around.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at some of the accolades of the family too. Of course, your grandfather has won a number of different awards, though.
Yeah.
But he's never won an Oscar.
I don't know if anyone in my family has.
No one has.
I don't think they have. No.
No, and I was surprised by that.
Maybe it's my job.
There you go.
Film. There you go. Either way, compose it. Exactly. Earlier, you were kind of saying that with growing up around the sets and everything and so forth, at what age did you really understand what your grandfather or the family in general, they go, oh, they're this, you know, and where the realization kind of hit in for you of like, oh, we're a little bit different. We're a little bit unique because of the talents that you guys have.
Yeah. I actually was convinced when I was really young that my dad was a garbage man.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Is it because of that one movie?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
Well, look at that.
That's awesome.
Somebody threw away a perfectly good white man.
Right. Wow, Dad and Uncle Charlie, they're garbage people. I don't know why.
I totally thought they were. I remember I told the whole class, like they were going around like saying like, oh, what do your parents do? It was like show and tell or whatever. I don't know.
Oh my
God. My dad's a garbage man, and the whole class like burst out laughing. Like they thought because it was hysterical.
That's awesome.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they knew. Everyone knew. They were huge at that time.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
that is
like,
funny.
I don't know.
How did you feel though? It's like going, oh.
I mean, so that's how much I didn't know, like, you know, what my surroundings were like.
Yeah, and as a kid, yeah.
And, and what is it you kind of, did that kind of like morph it into like going, oh, this is what the family does. You know, what age did you kind of realize that though?
Probably short after that.
Right after that.
You're like, then it clicked. The puzzle went last piece.
I mean, Grandpa's not JFK?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's what all that makeup was for.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, so many people also look at your dad and your grandfather as sex symbols. How do you look at that? Does that, when somebody says something like that, they kind of go, oh, no, that's Grandpa, no. You know, or you go, no, that's part of the business kind of thing.
No, I don't go there. My
brain. It's like, no, that's Dad. That's Dad, no.
No.
Dad, I saw this picture of you in 16 with your shirt off. Put it on. I can imagine those. Is that a little embarrassing though, when people kind of look at them that way, though?
Fortunately, I haven't run into that.
That's good.
A lot. Yeah.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
At least they respected that boundary.
Yeah, I think so. They did.
That's right? Good. Yeah. That's
the
awesome.
Other ones,
except Sean.
Yeah. I go there.
Right now.
I go there. Inquiring minds. Well, let's talk about your career. You are so well-respected musician, drummer, percussionist. How was it that you began to carve, and where did your love of music come from? Was there music around the house all the time, or?
Yeah, there was a lot of music around the house. My mom actually dated one of the members of Pink Floyd when I was younger.
Wow.
I know, so it was just on both. Like, it was just kind of a wild childhood. But so there was always like Pink Floyd playing, and like some nice 70s grooves, and music would just. I started in school like really young. You know, you start at like when you're 9 or something, typically playing the recorder, and I probably hated it. But then after that,
as most of us did,
it's like the worst sound ever. And then I started to play trombone. Was my first instrument, and I played in the wind ensemble and jazz band, and I was like your typical band geek.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I played saxophone, so.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
My first instrument was flute.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice. Trumpet.
Well, actually, guitar.
There you go.
Yeah. No, but it was so funny when, like, she asked me if I was a drummer when I was dancing. I was like, no, I have no musical ability. Like, I really don't.
She turns on the radio.
Looks like you do.
Because, and my mom is amazing at so many instruments. Me?
Nothing.
No, nothing.
Skip your generation, huh?
Yeah. I did not get that gene.
So why end up with drums after trying this instrument, trying that instrument? What leered you towards the drums?
I thought it was cool.
I love that. You look sick. Like, you're like, yeah.
I just want to be a badass. That's all I want to do.
Well,
she is a badass.
She is.
She doesn't want to be. She's successful at that.
Yeah.
Check.
And you went to MI, right?
Or? I did, yeah. Yeah, eventually I ended up there.
What was that like going through MI? Was it pretty grueling after realizing, hey, I'm going to take this seriously now? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely had my ass handed to me. You play for like 7 to 9 hours a day. It's insane. Yeah, it's like a boot camp for musicians. It's great. It's great.
Was there any part where you kind of went, maybe I'll change my mind? Or did you go, no, I'm just going to stick?
No, I'm pretty decisive when it comes. I'm indecisive until I'm decisive. And then when I make up my mind, I do it.
Wait, so tell me which school this is?
Musicians Institute.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's a really good school, too, because I remember when they first started, it's like you just got like a certificate that said, okay, you passed. But now they actually have, it's accredited school now to where you can actually get a bachelor's.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, you can. I didn't do that, though. I did the associate's.
Associate's degree?
Yeah.
I heard that's what most people do. Like, I've had a friend that was a drummer at Berkeley, in Boston, the School of Music over that way.
Yeah.
And Cake, all the members from Cake went to school at Berklee as well. Cool. And they all stayed for just their associates, took the classes, all the electives that they wanted, and then they busted out of there and went and recorded their own album.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
How did the family respond to you going into being a musician? Because, excuse me, I know acting is a very tough career also, and so is being a musician. It's not that much different. So how supportive were they in hoping that this would flourish for you?
Thankfully, really supportive. Yeah. I mean, I grew up being able to play a drum set at my mom's house, like, whenever I wanted. And that's insane to me. Like, if I had a kid now, I would be like, you're getting the quietest electric kit possible, you know?
I'm selling mine.
And keep it down.
I'm selling mine. So if you have a kid, let me know.
Okay. But I grew up being able to practice as loud as I wanted to, like, whenever. And going to school, they were just like, absolutely. Like, I really lucked out in that way.
That's awesome, though.
Because I feel like for a female especially, like, it's such an odd thing to do. Like, it's kind of out of the norm, you know, to be like, I want to be a drummer. And they're like, okay, let's do it.
So many good female drummers out there right now, and just not just female drummers, but female musicians.
Yeah,
and I'm noticing that's been coming up like through the ranks a little bit. And what's your take on that? Because I've been noticing it more and more, where it's a bass player or a guitar player, and I mean, or drummers, and they're just kicking ass.
Yeah,
you know, and not only that though, but I mean, they're not to sound sexist in a way, but I mean, they're also very attractive women that are just like, okay, I'm putting my guitar down now because I suck.
You know, fun fact, there's a psychology to that. When people watch other people doing what they absolutely love and what they're super good at, immediately makes them more attractive in the brain.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's like a whole psychology thing to it. Yeah, watching someone do what they absolutely love, a more high likelihood that the people who are watching that will be attracted to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense because, like, your spirit is coming alive. And
she's listening to the show.
Finally.
It took an interview. That's what it took,
It took an interview.
She's like, this is interesting.
One thing I noticed, though, too, with the female musicians, though, I mean, like you said, there's a true enjoyment there that I don't see in guys.
Interesting.
You know, it's like, yeah, they're rocking out or whatever, but it's like every female musician I watch, you know, again, whether it be a drummer, whether it be a bass player, whether it be a guitarist or piano player, it doesn't matter. They're having fun. They're smiling. They're in the group and they're good, you know, and it's just because of that enjoyment of it, you know, whether it's like Orathani or whether it's Nia Strauss or Hannah Welton or Maya Cohen, you know, same thing. It's like they're just having fun. Because like for me as a guy, I mean, obviously looking at a very attractive woman is nice. But but now to see,
nice.
It's obvious. You know, same thing, you know, the other way around too.
But
to watch an attractive person in general too, though, play an instrument and enjoy that. I think you're right. There's an attractiveness that's there. It makes it more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and not only that, but the way they play. Because, like, when I watch you play, there's a fluidity about yourself, you know, and where you're just having a good time, you're enjoying it, and every stick movement you do is just so fluid.
Wow.
And I go, that's where I need to get.
Wow.
You know, that's where I need to be.
Set.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And I have the same experience when I watch other drummers.
Too. Really?
Like, wow, I need to practice more. That's what I want to look like and sound like.
Who were your influences as drummers?
Yeah, probably my top one would be John Bonham. For
really?
Sure. Yeah, his groove is like unparalleled to that kind of like digging into the drums like that. Like, no one plays like him. He was probably my first greatest influence. And then Chad Sexton from 311.
Yeah.
And Jose Pasillas from Incubus, and Carter Beauford from Dave Matthews Band. I don't play like any of these guys, but they're the ones that have like really, you know,
inspired you.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah.
Do you ever, and I know certain people do it to a degree, but I was wondering how much you do it though, where you go, oh, that's a cool little groove, or that's a little cool little trick or whatever. Do you go back and try and learn that little whatever it is and throw it into whatever you're doing?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, sometimes. It depends on, you know, what I'm working at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I've spent a lot of my time learning songs for bands, for projects.
Right.
And that's where I get a lot of like my licks and stuff.
Put your little bag of tricks out there and go, okay, what are we going to do today? Kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I'm like covering a song, like I try and do it exactly as they play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually my intention.
Do you chart everything out at first though and then memorize or?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's really what I'm learning now.
Are you really?
I'm trying to learn to read drum music right now.
Oh, fun. I can help you out with that anytime. Yeah. It's really easy.
I'm learning because I'm starting to take a few lessons from Drumeo.
Cool.
.com and everything.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah. I have a little Breakbeats kit.
Nice.
By Questlove. Okay. So, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, it's a fun little kit. And
you're speaking our language now.
I do, yeah. As you can tell, I'm originally a guitar player.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's my, mm-hmm. Well, actually, my first instrument I learned to play was drums. Then I went to bass. Then I went to piano. And then I landed on guitar. But in between there, when I was in high school, I learned to play saxophone. So, but drums was just a first love to a degree because I had a buddy of mine that grew up down the street from my grandparents' house. And I just, he's like an octopus. And I'm going, how do you know when to do this or that or whatever? You know, because you're doing four different things at the same time.
How my brain works.
Yeah. And so while he was in junior high and high school, whatever he was learning, he taught me.
Very cool.
And so I kind of picked it up a little bit. So then I learned to speak drum.
Nice.
And then his dad taught us both how to play bass.
Wow.
And then tinkered with the piano. Had a horrible teacher for the piano, though.
A lot of people do.
She was an old lady who needed to, like, die then.
I
did,
too. I had the meanest piano teacher.
So did I.
I quit after one lesson. I was like, you're horrible.
I lasted two more lessons than you, I think. So, and then my grandfather finally bought me a guitar, and it was a harmony guitar. The beginning of the end for me at that point.
Wow.
So, but it was fun. You know, it was a neat little experience through those years of growing, but I wish I stayed with one longer though.
Yeah, that's a lot of instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I learned more younger. I wish I did what you did. So there you have it.
I know a little bit of each to kind of get away, you know, and kind of go like I can sit in or I can help out or I can keep the beat or whatever.
Okay.
So, but that's pretty much it. But like now, it's like my midlife crisis is learning to play the drums again.
Nice.
You know, so I want to go back and learn and try to get the grooves down. And yeah, I'm having little problems here and there, but I'm getting it. I'm getting it.
Do you still have a trombone?
I don't. I sold
it. Have you ever played it since then, or you don't?
Yeah. I picked it back up in college. I was like, I'm going to try this again, and I was horrible. Like, it was really bad, and it took a long time. You lose your chops if you don't practice, like any instrument, really, but like especially a brass instrument.
Oh, with the embouchure,
like,
yeah,
it's gone in like a year, I'm sure. And I picked it up like several years later, and I was it was not good. And I played for like I played in the Santa Monica college orchestra for like one semester, and then that was it. Yeah, that was bad.
Not again. Not like drums. Drums are good.
Yeah,
drums
are good. This is too much for me. I can't.
Obviously, the music industry is a man's world, kind of a thing. I've always admired female musicians, and I learned that early on because when I was in a band in my 20s, we had a lead guitar player who was female. And she kicked my ass up and down the street.
Cool.
And I'm just like, I have so much respect. So, like I said, when I see a female musician, it's like, I look at the talent. I don't look at anything else. But of course, the industry is a little bit different, though. How much resistance did you get, or did you have to work twice as hard to get a little bit more noticed because of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like you don't have to work that hard to get noticed as a female, because the second you're on stage, you're like, ooh, it's a girl on stage. You know what I mean? So you're like, I'm noticed no matter what I do.
Right.
I feel like I'm always the only girl. I mean, not in music, but like in a lot of things that
me
I do.
Too.
Like me in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. I could go up there in my pajamas for anyone, like for who cares?
I was in sweatpants.
Exactly.
I'm typically in sweatpants.
I'm usually like the only girl in the all guy friend group.
But I feel like with that being said, like you are on there's a spotlight on you no matter what like anyone says, or you know, that's the way it is. And so with that being said, it did make me work harder because I wanted to get up there and be like, you want to fold your arms at me? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Your arms are going to be unfolded by the
how
time.
Many, how many times did you come up?
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That. No. Exactly. Though, because I've always felt that was unfair, uh-huh. and I'm so glad I learned that lesson early on. You know, at a young age, because she was 16.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had to go to her mom and dad. Actually, her dad really convinced them. Look, yes, she's going to be with a bunch of guys, but. Promise you, I'm going to do our best. She's not going to get hit on or this or that or whatever. Because we're taking her to the clubs where it's 21 and over.
Yeah.
You know, and she's the lead guitar player, you know, so right. it's a little bit harder.
Gotta watch her back.
Yeah. You know, so I really had to beg her dad to join our band at that time. But how many times did you get that? Well, let's see what you've got. You
every
know,
time I play. Really? Every single time I've ever sat behind a drum set on stage.
Even to this day?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they love it. And it's just, it's part of the deal. You just get used to it. And you're like, okay, like whatever. It's like kind of swatting a fly at this point.
Like, I know.
Not because I think I'm so good, but just because you have to like get used to that and just be like, just brush it off. Because it's just part of the game.
With that being said, to me also, I think there's, I want to say a double negative though, but Latino performers have also had a tough time too. Mm. I've go by my professional name is Sean Roberts, but my real name is Robert Sean Gomez. My mom came up with the name Sean Roberts because I was getting that pushback of being Latino. It's like, dude, I'm fifth generation here. You know, I was born in Bellflower.
Yeah.
But because of my, you know, Latino last name, I got a lot of pushback in the 80s and everything. So I just took my first name, my middle name, and switched it because I've always gone by Sean.
Yeah.
Did you get that also as well? Or was it just more because, oh, she's a girl?
Yeah, thankfully not. Thankfully not. A lot of the Latina kind of, you know, discrimination of any sorts. Yeah, mostly just the girl thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's good because I know we talked to, he's passed away now, but we talked to legendary artist Trini Lopez. And we got to be friends with Trini right before he passed. And, you know, of course, we're talking back in the, you know, late 50s and 60s and everything. There was a little bit of that push, but because of him, he was able to break through also. So, but he got some of that also, that pushback of being Latino.
Hmm.
So that's good that you didn't have, it was a double-edged sword. So that's.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah.
It's just a one-sided blade.
Yeah. So to speak. I can handle one.
Yeah, so to speak. TV and film, you've now kind of gotten into composing for that. How did that come for you?
Yeah, I actually started doing that because I was playing drums for a colleague, a friend that was writing music for TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly TV, like TV placement stuff. And she was like, I have all these songs, like you come play drums on them. And I was like, absolutely. And so we ended up just being in the studio forever. Like we did like 75 songs together.
Oh, wow.
And I was doing all the drums and we were just like in there for hours and hours. And I was like, kind of starting to come up with ideas like, oh, what if this part had this? And what if this had this? And she was like, you want to come just like write some stuff with me? And I was like, yeah, why not?
And nice.
Yeah. And it was really cool. And so that's how my journey started with writing music and not knowing much about it, but just hearing ideas and slowly getting into it that way.
And earlier we mentioned that you done two films for your dad, right? Composing two films?
Yeah.
How?
Well, not the composing, just a little bit of music,
okay.
additional music, uh-huh. and then playing drums on him.
And how did that come about from your dad, though? How did he approach you on it?
Mostly it was for playing drums. And it seemed right. He was like, you know, he's friends with the composer, and mm-hmm. he invited me to come into the studio. And he was like, yeah, we need another drummer. Do you want to just play on this? We have like this whole drum circle thing going on. I was like, absolutely. So,
oh, that's cool.
That started, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very cool. A few years back, I saw you do the announcement of where you are now the drummer for Berlin.
Yeah.
How did that come? First of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And how did that come about?
So that was through a recommendation, just a friend, a referral that was like, they're looking for a drummer. Do you want to, I'm going to send you along your info if that sounds good to you. And I was like, yes, please. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know.
Take my breath away.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it was pretty surreal. And then it was, like, before I knew it, I was on the phone with Terry Nunn, like, doing a phone interview first and just, like, seeing if we, like, even, you know, click. Got along over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrifying. And
it was, really?
Like, yeah, because it was just, like, I feel like this little kid all the time. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just, like,
I feel like a lot of us can resonate with that.
Yeah. And, yeah, and so I'm on the phone with her, and I'm just like, oh my God, is this happening? And we get off the phone, and I was like, whoo, okay, thank God, that's done. And then emails started coming in, and it was like auditions, and it was like, we want you at audition. And I was like, no shit.
Wow.
So I show up, and I audition, and it went really well.
That's good.
And I still wasn't sure, because I'm a lot younger than them, so I thought, you know, like, there's no way. Like, they want somebody, like, I really didn't think I was going to get it. Like, I was pretty certain I was not. And then I was really surprised, like genuinely surprised, and I got called back for the second audition, and yeah, it was, I knew it then, like I knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
I felt it.
And now how long have you been with the band now?
I played for them for a while, and like pre-COVID, and then a little bit during COVID. Mm-hmm. And then during COVID I decided to move on from the band, so I'm actually not playing for them anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Are you a part of any other bands?
Yeah. So right now I'm kind of like moving around, and I'm mm-hmm. playing for a country artist and a couple other people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited for you when you got that gig.
Thank
you.
That's
awesome.
It was really exciting.
Well, it's like a buddy of mine, and you might know who he is, Phil X, a guitar player. And he was all over YouTube for a number of years. He had an LA band also with his, well, now ex-wife.
Yeah.
And then he, years past, whatever, he got to work with Aldo Nova. And so he kind of knew John Bon Jovi a little bit. And so when Richie left, and he's like, well, what do I do? Well, it turned out John Shanks knew Phil X. And he goes, you know, and he asked,
John asked John,
you know, do you know anybody really quick? He goes, well, there's a guy, you know, that knows stuff pretty quickly or whatever. He goes, what's his name? He goes, well, Phil X. I think I remember him or whatever. He goes, does he have any videos? He goes, dude, look on YouTube. And Joey looked at all the different videos. He goes, all right, give him a call. And then when I ran into Phil at NAMM one time, I asked him, like, dude, how'd you get the gig? And he goes, John saw my videos, called me up. He goes, next thing you know, I'm on an airplane. I'm on another airplane. I'm on a helicopter.
Yeah.
We do a quick rehearsal, and I'm in front of 50,000 people. You know? Uh-huh. And it's like, dude, wow. You know,
dang.
And now he's, you know, a permanent member of the band.
Wow. Yeah, from the moment I was on the phone with Terry the first time, 2 weeks later I was on stage. I had to learn, like, what was it, like 16, 17 songs, and like I had 6 days to learn them.
Oh, man.
And learn Ableton Live, which I'd never done before, and run it, and
really?
Run video. It was so intense. Like, I don't think I slept, and I was just,
oh,
like,
my God.
I was so high. I didn't care.
Really?
Yeah. It was insane. It was insane.
You know, at a certain
talk about
point,
no sleep.
Yeah, no kidding.
At a certain point, I feel like there's like a survival mode that just kicks in.
Yeah.
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 And
you're like,
adrenaline.
It's do or die, because I'm going to be on stage tomorrow. So if I can't play this, then there's no option. Like,
yeah,
you have to
adrenaline
do it.
Just is like, no, I'm doing this.
Yep. Yeah.
And you just boop.
Very surreal.
Into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What sleep?
Yeah.
One thing, Paloma, I wanted to get into also, something I saw yesterday, and just kind of going through different things. And this is something that I take very seriously overall, because this is why we do the podcast.
I'm nervous now.
No, you're fine. Last year.
Got real serious.
No, it's exactly because of that. Last year you posted a video regarding your anxiety.
I did.
And your depression.
Okay.
And I was wondering, because these are totally two different things, almost to me in my eyes, one end of the spectrum to the other. How did that affect you in your career, or, you know, to where you went from one extreme to the other?
Are you talking about anxiety and depression being two different sides?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? I've been thinking about that. They are really different vibrations, for sure. I mean, I feel like growing up as such an introvert, I had a lot of anxiety, like really bad anxiety. And I didn't really know it. You know, I just thought that was kind of like how...
Do you know what brought it about, though? Or what caused it? Or was it pressure from the family business? Or
yeah, it was probably a bunch of things, you mm-hmm. know, that caused it. Yeah, I think it can really come from anywhere, from any kind of like traumatic episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anxiety was something I just lived with, and I didn't know I had an option to, like, you know,
to deal with it.
Yeah, to learn how to live with that and how to heal from it
and how
to pass it.
How did you heal from it?
I do a lot of, wouldn't say I meditate now better than mm-hmm. I have, but I do a lot of different kinds of spiritual practices, and that part of my life is actually really big, so it's nice to talk about too, so thank mm-hmm. you.
Absolutely, because for us, this show, I'll tell you this, one of the reasons why I want to do this podcast was that I got myself into a very deep depression to the point where I felt my life was not worth anything and almost took that step. And I realized, and what stopped me was my son, basically, my God, I don't want him to see me in that condition, or I don't want to leave him, you know, with that image or anything of that nature. So I got help myself and saw a therapist, and it helped me get through an awful lot of things I didn't realize. I thought I dealt with, but I really hadn't.
Yeah.
And so Steve and I and the girls were big believers in that laughter does heal, like we say at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It does.
And we're big fans of, and he's been a friend of the program too, which is comedian Craig Shoemaker. And anytime we get a chance to go see Craig, we go see him. And he has this thing called laughedation, where you just start laughing. And, you know, if you've got to force it out or whatever. But then start seeing the problems that you have. And then you realize how ridiculous it is. And there's this release that's about it, you know, and everything. And and then you feel so good afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely, like, I totally empathize with, like, the depression and anxiety thing. Because, like, I was in, like, the darkest point in my life. Like, literally, like, 3 months ago. And... like, I got on this show, like, five months ago or something. I don't even 4 months ago. And I was in the worst state. Like, and when you were saying, like, my son was, like, the only thing that kept me. It's, like, the only thing that kept me is that I didn't want my family to go through that.
Yeah.
But I totally get, like, the extreme anxiety and the extreme depression to the point where you're not functional. And... it's like, and then when you have the high points of your life where you're like, you got better and you got over it, there's so much more appreciation for that point.
So true.
Like, it's like, I'm in the happiest point of my life right now.
Yeah. I mean, well, same with me, because I mean, when the pandemic started, obviously my son had to come home from school. My wife also works for the school district, so she came home. I got laid off, and I haven't been back at work since. I'm trying to get back into the workforce. So I've been out of work, you know, almost 2 years, you know, almost to the date, basically. And so you would think, oh, my gosh, this pressure and everything, whatever, would cause even me to go back into my depression again. But because we do this show every week, you know, I'm laughing every week. I have something to look forward to
every week. Yeah.
And it has helped me so much to where if my depression kicks in nowadays, it's more or less, I'm just going to be lazy that day kind of a thing. It's not, it doesn't go where it used to go anymore.
It doesn't go as deep as it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ending your life.
How about for you, though? I mean, with your depression, how are you able to cope through it right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I didn't even know that I had depression until I was, like, in my 20s. And then I was like, oh, like, everything started making sense. Like, I was like, oh, that's why I'm so sad all the time. Or that's why, like, this is a natural state for me. I didn't know that wasn't, like, the norm, you know? Like, for me, it was so normal. Thankfully, now, this last year, I had a similar experience to what you both are talking about. And I'm so grateful to be here because I had a very similar moment where I wasn't sure. Now I'm going to cry. I wasn't.
It's okay. I'm already crying.
I wasn't sure if I was going to lock my door and make it on a particular day or not. And
I've been there. I've been there.
Okay. Yeah. And I wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had to go through a lot. I had to go through a lot of ways to uplift myself. And I just started seeking, and I started seeking different teachers and different modalities. And I just, not in a desperate way, but in a way of like, okay, this is getting really serious. Like a part of me really doesn't want to be here, and I want to know why, like why. And I started really focusing on loving the different aspects of myself. And that was probably like one of the first steps that really brought me out of it is when I get deeper into the depressive state is to just love that part of myself, because I feel like there's so many different layers that you can add onto it that work against yourself. Like if you start shaming yourself for feeling a certain way, if you start like, you know, lashing yourself, and I know we all do that.
Right.
And so instead, just bringing love to the parts of myself that really need it the most is something that's really helped a lot in terms of depression and anxiety.
I can imagine, because I mean, like for me, it's the same thing, because I know friends of mine look at me and they go, oh my God, you're so talented. You can do this, you can do that. And, you know, you've got, you know, these autographs on your wall and everything of people that you've met, and some are friends and this and that, you know. And sometimes they go, geez, you know, you know so many famous people. How come you're not famous? And I always give them the same answer. Because you won't buy my CDs. You want a free one. That's why.
I mean, he's like, damn it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I mean, even like the Nelson brothers, you know, I guess. Every time I go see them, whatever, if they got something new, I buy an album. You know, I know they can give it away for free, but I still buy one, you know, nonetheless, because it shows respect to the guys. Let's see. It's 11:29 right now, and we're going to go ahead and break away from our affiliates. But we are going to continue on yourweeklydose.com. So for anybody else who is listening on Line City Radio and also Delmarva Radio, we want to thank you for joining us today. But also, if you want to hear what else more fun that we're going to have with Paloma, please go ahead and switch over now. That way you can catch the rest of the interview, because we are obviously going to go over time, which I don't mind at all. So, but until then, you guys have a good week, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're off with our affiliates. Yeah, because I saw that, and I was just amazed, because with what has happened with COVID and everything, I mean, mental health is such a big issue now.
It sure is.
And, you know, being in the music industry, I mean, you get so much pressure alone. Are we good enough? Why didn't we get the gig and this and that or whatever? So then to add that on top of it, I mean, it just piles on and piles on and piles on. So, like I said, one extreme to the other, though, how is it you're able to pull yourself out of that depression? It's still the meditation type of a thing, or is it?
Yeah, I have a really serious daily practice that I do that's really fun. And it's actually something I look forward to every morning now. When I wake up, I have a really intense gratitude practice.
Mm.
And I write 10 things that I'm grateful for, which doesn't sound intense, but I've been doing it every single day for a long time. And then I picture what I want for my life, and I pull in those feelings of that they're actually happening to lift my spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do I do? This is where my closet dancing comes in as well. Put on really loud music and I dance.
Uh-huh.
And that is
like
probably
nobody's
like
nobody's watching.
Seriously, that is such a great cure to depression, because moving your body, because depression is like it gets so in your body, and I mean anxiety too, but like once you start like moving it out and like really letting loose, like it really does something. I think that's a big factor.
Yeah, that's why we love the whole laughter thing, because I mean afterwards, you know, I mean both Steve and I sometimes, you know, the girls will leave and we're hanging out, and sometimes because I'll take him home. And we're on the couch afterwards, just relaxing. And next thing you know, we're because it takes you out. It takes it out of you. You know.
I know. I've looked over and I'm like, Steve is just sleeping over there. Like he's just like upright and just, that one time that I stayed here for a performance on Zoom.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Yeah. He was just. I was like, oh wow, Steve is really just. Yeah, he's relaxed.
He's always relaxed. That's Steve. That's Steve.
Feels good.
And now he's got that butt pillow.
I know. Now it's like
he's really comfy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chair used to get so hard after a while. Now I'm fine.
How much also did you, with going through the anxiety and the depression, how much did you rely on your family though, or was this all done on your own per se?
I have a really close relationship with my brother and my sister-in-law, and they probably helped out the most. But in terms of like parental advice on, you know, anxiety and depression, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really there. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Just did it all mainly on your own though, but a little help from siblings and
and friends.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this: anytime you feel depressed, you have my phone number now.
Thank you.
Call me.
Thank you.
I will try and make you laugh as much as hard as I can.
I love that.
And because, like I said, for us, that's what it's all about, you know. And one thing we learned from Craig is that our belief basically is that the same antidepressants they try to give you, you know, because they try to put me on antidepressants, and I'm like, no. Is when you laugh, those same endorphins and everything are released in your body, which is why when you do go see a comedian, you feel so good afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just it. I want to do that on a weekly basis. And I remember Mark Thompson from Mark and Brian, who they did an interview with John Travolta. And Mark said it could have been a Scientology thing. But he goes, but it made sense. And Mark has kind of stuck to it. And I've kind of followed it also, which is that have something to look forward to. Whether it's an hour, a minute from now, an hour from now, a day from now, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, whatever it is, always has something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when you do, when that thing's there, enjoy the moment of it. Be in the moment. Be as if it is your last moment, and just take everything in. If you're going to laugh, laugh hard, laugh loud, laugh whatever, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's one thing that we try to do here as much as possible. And like I said, you know, during the last 2 years, I could have easily gone back into my deep depression again.
Yeah.
But I didn't. It was more or less of like, you know, Steve and I sat down and we were wondering, should we continue the show because of the pandemic and everything, you know? And everybody said, well, be careful and this and that. And we did. And we did continue the show. And I'm so glad that we did, because every week, we're guaranteed to laugh. We're guaranteed to laugh at something stupid, whether something I did, something Steve did, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And
I don't know about the guaranteed part.
Oh, no, I'm guaranteed.
That's a lot of pressure there.
Make me laugh, damn it.
And what's nice about having my partner here, too, is that there are times where I might feel just a bit under. I'll call him the day before and go, hey, this is happening to me right now. This is the way I'm feeling. I don't know how I'm going to be tomorrow on the air. So I might have you to step it up a little bit.
Right.
And he'll go, okay. You know, and he does. And he'll do things to try and make me laugh, whatever. And during the show, I can feel it kind of go away. And I can I'm loosening up more and more.
Yeah.
You know, during the show and everything.
Yeah, it really depends on what you're focused on, too. I feel like if you're depressed and you're focused, like, I'm depressed, and you get this, like, mantra in your head about, like, how you feel, then hell yeah, you're going to feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's really, and it really can be a choice at that point.
It
is. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
And when you do that and you start focusing on the laughter, it's because you're focused on the laughter. You're focused on feeling better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Of course, it's going to change.
Yeah.
I think we all have that power at any point in time to do that.
Yeah. Our brains are kind of lucky in the way that we can trick it really easily.
Like, pretty quick, it's true.
Like, we are very good at tricking our own brains.
Yeah, our brains and our bodies, like, your body doesn't really know. Like, time doesn't really exist in terms of, like, your physical self in a way.
Yeah.
So, like, you could, like, I could right now, if I wanted to, I could be playing the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
And feel amazing. You know what I mean? Like, and you could too. You could be like on stage right now and just bring that vibration into your field, and your body is like, cool, this feels great. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And then afterwards you go, oh, where's the Bengay? Oh, God, these muscles. Well, you know what? We're going to do something now with you that we do with all of our guests.
Okay.
Whether it be on the phone or in person and everything. So, which is the island questions.
Okay.
So these are kind of fun. So, you're finally retiring, let's say.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And you're going to go on this beautiful deserted island all to yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, did I do this?
Maybe? Yeah, you did.
I remember this.
All right. Okay.
I'm excited. Boy, this introduction gets longer every time.
Is it elaborate? Yeah.
That's
pretty much it.
Was that you're on a deserted island.
What are you going to do?
That was it. Now there's this whole scenario of your life expectancy.
I feel like I'm there.
Like, wow.
It's easy.
Notice who makes it longer, though.
Now I know he doesn't talk for like 10 minutes. And then
now
he got something to say.
Okay. You're on the island. You could only take one candy bar with you. What would it be?
Oh, I thought it was going to be one item. Which I knew what it was going to be. But candy bar? No, it would be my one item would have been chapstick.
Yes.
For the trombone.
Serious addiction to chapstick.
For the trombone.
What's your favorite flavor?
Oh, Burt's Bees.
Ooh.
It's always in my pocket. It's like a problem.
Coconut and pear.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
Mine's traditional. That one's good too. Okay, what candy one, bar?
What candy? Yeah, what candy bar would you take?
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Ooh, that's a good one. A lot of people go for that one.
I'd be okay with that. Okay. Yeah, I'd be really happy.
This one's gonna be a tough one for you. One album, what would it be?
Ooh. Oh my God, that's really tough. Then if that's it, you're set. Maybe Every Day by Dave Matthews. Mm, I'd be really happy with that one.
That's a good album.
It's a great album.
That's a good album, yeah.
Uplifting. Not too sad.
You can only take one movie with you.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. These are good questions.
Oh, they get worse.
They get worse?
It gets harder and harder. It's a little scale.
Okay. These are getting tough. Well, my movie choices are usually kind of dark, but I feel like if I were at the end of my life is what we're talking about.
We're talking about just retirement. Then you're not that you're going to die soon or anything like that, but you're retiring. That's all it is. And this is your enjoyment.
To your own private island.
Yeah.
My own private island. I'd probably bring Sword in the Stone.
That's a great one.
I feel like that would go
that's
lengthy
a good
amount of time. I could watch it like plenty of times.
Yeah. Okay. What type of food would you take?
Okay, so if I were on an island and it didn't matter, can I bring several types of food or
you can
just one type?
Or you can generalize it. Like for me, I said Asian.
Can I bring junk food?
Sure.
Sweet.
You're really vibing out on this island.
I really am. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Hot dogs, hamburgers, and you know. Junk food.
The good delicatessen food, right?
Yeah. That's what I bacon. Bring it.
there's doctors on this island, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, it's okay.
We're at the end anyways. Yeah. It's fine.
What's your favorite topping on a hot dog?
Oh, I like, you know, standard ketchup and mustard.
Favorite topping? Like one singular topping?
Well, no. I mean, because like some
or
people
what
like
your
some
topping
people
choices.
Don't, yeah,
I'm
some
a plain
choices.
Person.
Yeah, okay.
You're a plain
no
person.
No sauce?
Nothing.
Weird.
I think because growing up, I think it was like a texture thing. I just didn't like ketchup. I didn't like mustard. Like I liked mayonnaise and relish in my tuna because I still love tuna. But like besides that, yeah, never.
Well, that's
anything.
How you make tuna salad sandwich anyway.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lettuce. Like besides that. Yeah, but I never get
see, for hot dogs,
lettuce with a hot dog?
No, no, sorry. I was talking about hamburgers in my mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just
we're not in there yet. So
I know.
I was like, wait a moment.
French
no
fries.
Sauce.
I love French fries. Yeah.
Can you tell? I do. Hello.
Like, I love seasoning. I put seasoning on everything, but like sauces, sometimes.
See, for me, for hot dogs, I got to have one of each where I have onions and mustard, and then I got to do the flip over and have a second one. And do the relish and ketchup.
Okay.
Ketchup.
So, I love a good ketchup. Chicago dog with the
yes.
pickles.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Have you gone over
tomatoes.
To Portello's in Buena Park?
No.
Oh, you gotta go, girl.
Okay. Before I get on this island.
Yeah.
She's already planning.
I'm already there.
Yeah, once
man.
You get there, there's no turning back. So, yeah.
I'm really planning this out.
Okay. These last two are really hard.
Okay.
You can take one person with you for conversation's sake. It can't be a spouse or significant other. Who would it be?
Could it be my dog?
Sure.
Oh my God, that's
valid.
Literally me.
Wouldn't that be kind of ideal?
Right?
Me surviving COVID.
They don't talk back. So you just see you and your dog.
That is like unconditional love.
I can talk
love.
As much as I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They listen. It's
perfect.
They don't know what you're saying, but they listen.
Oh, no, they know.
Oh, I think they know.
To a certain extent.
They know. They know. All right, here's the tough one that everybody has difficulty with.
Yeah.
You can take one person for sexual gratification. Again, it cannot be your spouse or significant other. Who would it be?
Keira Knightley?
Really?
Okay.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
That's a real good choice.
Is that what you're supposed to do? Like pick a celebrity or something?
No, it could be anybody. Okay.
There we go.
But Keira Knightley, that would be your choice?
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
Okay. Keira, coming on the show next to find out who you
no,
pick.
Please don't. Keira Mike.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
That would be funny. Hilarious. We should try to start doing that now.
Oh.
We'll just bring the guest of the person that they answered the question for on the next show.
Did you know?
Hey, she's only 36.
Keira Knightley?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. Good to know.
I've asked out a 36-year-old woman before.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, Paloma, I want to thank you for coming in. We hope you had fun with us.
Thank you. This is fantastic.
And it was nice to see the inner workings of a famous family itself, and kind of goes through what everybody else goes through. It's just a little bit different. You know, sometimes it's a big magnifying glass, though, at times or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of nice to hear that it, no matter what, we all put on our pants the same way, basically, and that's the cool thing about it. We're gonna do one more game with you. Now, this is where all of us are involved, though.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is nothing more than a potpourri of just stupid trivia questions. And if you think you know where the question is going, your name is your buzzer, so just yell out your name.
Okay.
Steve and I will ask the questions. Steve will do the first five. I'll do the second five. And just kind of see how dumb we really are, basically. Nothing more than that. So here we go. So let's go ahead and play the game.
I feel like you're going to win.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that caused Frosty the Snowman to melt, Quiz Me, Quiz You.
All right. You ready with the first five, Steve?
Question number one.
All right. All right, here we go.
What color eyes do most humans have?
Casey.
Casey?
Brown.
That's the correct answer.
Ooh.
Wow. Should have answered that.
Producers right out of the gate. All right.
I had that. It was too slow.
All right. Question number two. Which Disney film features the song When You Wish Upon a Star?
Caitlin.
Cinderella. Caitlin.
Wait, yeah.
Caitlin, Cinderella? What is your answer?
You're looking at me.
She said Cinderella.
Cinderella.
That's the wrong answer.
Oh, Paloma.
Paloma.
Pinocchio.
That's it.
There you go.
So you got it right.
You got it.
On the nose.
Paloma's on the board.
On the nose.
Get it?
Yes. All right.
You're
make
funny.
Your nose grow. Make your nose grow. I don't know how. Say something outrageous. Okay. Question number three.
A little competitive.
Me too. That's why I was low-key disappointed in myself.
I felt that.
All right. What kind of music has been shown to make plants grow better and faster?
Paloma.
Sean.
Paloma.
Classical.
That's it.
Wow.
Nice.
On it.
She's two for two. Look at that. The attitude's coming out.
Oh, it doesn't take much.
Okay. I like how at the beginning of this, she's like, I think you're going to win now.
Going bound, all going right. Down, Tubby.
Question number four. Power outages in the United States are
Sean.
Most... Sean.
What? I think you're not reading the question.
Not paying the bills.
You know the question.
Wrong answer.
Oh, okay.
That's what you get for jumping the gun, Jesus.
It's called humor. Humor.
Okay.
Oh, you know what
I
that
will
is?
Start yes. The question again. Power outages in the United States are mostly caused by what?
Paloma.
Paloma.
Balloons.
Wrong answer.
It's a joke. It wasn't funny, though.
Well,
it
no,
wasn't funny.
You know,
if
funny.
There's 99 of them, I guess it would be make sense.
Caitlin?
Did you say your name?
No, I didn't know. But no. My name is...
You got another?
It's your turn.
Casey?
Fires.
Trees?
No.
Fires?
No.
I was like in California, if it was in...
Do we just keep guessing?
Do you have an idea?
I don't.
Power outages.
What causes power outages?
Storms.
No.
That's a good one.
Lightning.
If you want kind of a hint.
Okay, give me a hint.
Multiple choice.
The tree is probably the closest answer to
grass.
What it is.
Grass.
In an odd
forests.
Way.
Forests.
The trees fall
downed
on
branches.
Sean.
Cables. Sean. Animals?
What animal?
I know. How do I do a half buzz?
What animal?
Squirrel?
Deers? Squirrels.
That's
Look
it.
Squirrels?
The answer is squirrels.
Amazing.
Very wow. Good. All right.
That was a tough one.
That was really tough.
Yeah. Power outages are by squirrels. Okay.
That was extremely specific.
Yeah.
Question number five.
You're on. We're even. We're 2-2 right now.
Oh, shit.
All right. Now, everybody listen closely. This is a commonly known thing. Uh-oh. So everybody listen closely. Uh-oh. Are you ready?
Okay.
What did the crocodile swallow in Peter Pan?
Sean.
Paloma.
Sean.
Paloma. Paloma got it first.
No, no. Sean was definitely first.
He went first. No, you're just being nice. Go ahead. You got it. Okay. You better answer it right.
A clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there it was.
Everybody.
You knew that one, too.
I know,
everyone knows that.
Peter Pan's my favorite.
Right.
Yeah.
I got five more.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I thought we only had
five. 10 questions.
I thought we only had five today. Sorry.
No. We got to five. Yeah, ain't on the show early there, huh?
Early? No way.
I got so much. I'm like, I have another chance to win.
No. That last one.
All right. Here we go. Question number six.
Then you're still on.
Yeah, you are.
Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita?
Steve? Germany.
No.
Country?
Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita?
Casey? The United States?
No. You think we do, but no.
Caitlin. Well, I have a second answer if nobody else
put
wants
your phone to. Away.
Are you looking it up?
Gotta go around first.
I was cleaning it.
Mexico?
Uh-huh. No.
So he could look it up later.
I'm just going to throw a guess out there then.
Yeah.
France?
No.
Come on.
See you?
Belgium?
No.
Switzerland?
That's a good guess.
Yes, Switzerland.
Ah, Switzerland.
Oh, they do like chocolate. But so does everybody.
Yeah.
It's, I know. That's why I was like,
consumes the most per chocolate per capita, though. All right. Question number seven. Which two U.S. states do not observe daylight savings time?
I know one.
I know one, too.
Caitlin, Arizona.
I don't know the other one. That's the one I have.
I have half a point.
Yeah, we have half correct. Okay.
And New Mexico?
No.
That would be my second guess.
And Texas?
No.
Utah.
You guys want to guess?
Utah.
You guys want a clue, rather?
No, they do.
Yeah, clue.
Clue? Hit the blue button that we normally, the bottom.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Steve.
Tennessee.
No. Steve. There's your clue.
Tennessee. Steve.
Just
Hawaii, yeah. There you go.
Nice, okay.
Oh, my God. Interesting. So obvious.
Arizona and Hawaii.
I was just like, picturing, like, what's next to Arizona?
Yeah, New Mexico. That's
what. Way over here. All right. Let's see what. Question number eight. Which of Shakespeare's plays is the longest?
Ooh.
Oh, everybody's looking around.
It's real quiet.
Caitlin.
Wow.
Hamlet.
Yes, Hamlet.
Nice. Dude. I actually did not know that.
Did you know that? Did you know that or did you guess?
No, I studied Hamlet just now in Theater 100.
Oh, nice.
Just now.
Very cool.
Just now.
Wow. Funny enough, I'm sitting there going through all the beginnings of the plays because he usually announced how long the play was going to be in and I'm like, oh.
And I didn't pay attention during the Hamlet part. It's like, I know two Shakespeare plays. So it just happened to be that I studied Hamlet in Theater 100.
Oh, wow. Nice.
All right, question number nine. What is the tallest breed of dog in the world?
Caitlin?
Great Dane. That is correct. Great Dane.
Dude.
Nice. On the board.
Question,
catching up.
Question number 10.
Woo-hoo!
You might win right now.
This is the last question.
Good to know.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, thanks.
Yay!
What is the world's biggest island?
Caitlin. New Zealand.
No.
Biggest island?
Yeah.
Casey?
Casey?
Iceland?
No.
Okay.
That's good. Caitlin.
Caitlin?
Greenland?
Yes.
That's the one I was thinking of. That's the one I was thinking of.
Dude.
Very well. Very well done.
All right.
I'm so proud of myself.
Paloma, thank you so much for coming in. It's so good to see you. It's been too long. Anything that you want to promote right now that's coming up for you?
Yeah, I have an instrumental album coming out in the next couple weeks. I don't know what day, but it'll be out on all platforms. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. We'll keep an eye out for it. We'll definitely promote it on the show, too.
Do we get a name of the album?
Yeah, it's called If I Were a Superhero.
Okay. I like that. Does it come with a little cape, too, when you buy this?
It should.
All right, so don't forget that, guys. So we've got the new album coming out from Paloma. And Steve, want to go ahead and
I have not. The show's website, yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter page, at Your Weekly Dose 1. If you want to follow me, Steve, on Facebook, it's Steve Silva. And Twitter, it's at SilvaLining69.
I always like to do this at the end of any show that we talk about it, but there's a crisis text line. The number for that is 741-741. If you text HOME, H-O-M-E, to that number, they will send a licensed therapist to call you from your local area.
Awesome. Perfect. Awesome. Love that. Maybe he's out.
On Instagram, I'm Caitlin Ketstever, or Ketstever Studios, where you can see the behind the scenes of our lovely web series being filmed, which is actually pretty funny, yeah. Cool. If you want to see a picture of me with a cone on my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Paloma, where can people follow you at?
On Instagram is probably the best place, Paloma Estevez 15.
Oh, so there's like 14 others before you.
There are a lot of Paloma Estevez's, believe it or not.
Freaking Latinos, man. We multiply.
They really do.
Gosh darn. A lot of myself. All righty, guys. If you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, I just made it simple. It's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, guys, you can listen to past shows on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Live City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Fridays. And once again, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you. So help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbors, tell anybody, because damn it, we dare you to do that. Once again, thank you to Paloma Estevez for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We had fun with you.
This was really fun. Thank you.
All right, guys. Until then, we'll catch you guys next week. Be good to each other, people.
Learn to laugh at yourself, world.
Yeah, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.